$100 or $200 or more?
Can I send a dollar or two?
Pardon?
Can I send a dollar for a bumper sticker? How's Romney doing now that Obama's ahead a little bit? Is he going to come back? He's doing what?
He's doing okay.
Okay, good. Huh?
Which credit card would you like to use? Because he's the best card in America.
Do you take PayPal?
No, we don't take PayPal.
What about a PayPal Visa card?
Let's see. We're working on the computer today. Hi, this is Trail Mix. Let's see, gotta put in your password. I'm not gonna tell you what it is. Just in case there's any hackers out there. So it's, we're back in Pine Mountain Club, and we're doing what we do best, and that is just working on the computer, trying to sell art on eBay, doing our radio shows, getting Rural War Room uploaded for the week, getting Out of the Woods uploaded for the week, getting Robin's Imagination Hour uploaded for the week, getting Vampire Vic's Hour uploaded for the week, and Trail Mix, what you're listening to right now. Yes, we're getting lots of calls from the Romney team asking us for $100, and then they'll send us a bumper sticker. And we just keep saying, no, I'm sorry, we're not interested. And it's not so much that we're not interested in talking to the Romney people, but it's more like we just think that's a little expensive for a vinyl bumper sticker. When the Obama team will give us one for 50 cents or for free if we just ask for one. So we figure the better deal is with the Obama bumper sticker. Whether we vote for either party, we'll leave that up to the individuals. But all I can say right now is the Obama sticker is a much better deal. Okay, let's get ready for some Trail Mix.
Split the praises, you mule hip cayuses! Woohoo! Well, hey there, doggy dreamers. It's that time of the week again, kids. It's that time when all us mountain men, women, and children round up the cattle, get back home, and get ourselves some vittles and lovin'. Woo-wee! Yes, sirree! It's time for Peter Gunther's Trail Mix!
People wonder, what do I do when I'm through milking the cows? Well, you're kind of getting an inkling of an idea. I listen to classical music and soundtrack music in my cabin here in the mountains, Pine Mountain. When the doggies are done giving me their milk, they pretty much tell me they're bored and they want, you know, me to go back into my place and leave them alone in their place, because they like to do cow talk, moo talk, which I can't understand anyway, and frankly, they bore me too when it comes to conversation. Now, when it comes to loving, that's a different matter. I pet them and they nuzzle me and they thank me for relieving them of their milk in their own special way. Now, the music you're hearing in the background is the kind of thing I do a jig with. I had a pig that reminded me of Babe, like in the movie Babe, and he was ill one time, and I said to him, what if I do a jig like that Cromwell guy did in Babe, and he looked up at me, and he spoke English, actually, and he said,
couldn't hurt,
so I did it, and I did a jig. He died a couple hours later. That gives you an idea of how good a dancer I am, I suppose. But he's in piggy heaven. And I don't know what he had. Some kind of a rare disease that comes from hanging out with too many people, I think. And that can happen. You know, you've heard of mad cow. You've heard of swine flu. Well, he got people fever, and I'm surprised more animals don't get that, because humans can be kind of a strain on the nervous system, let's just put it that way. Well, let's get back to some new stuff here on Trail Mix here in September and see what we got. You just heard Robin Holmes' Imagination Hour. They've been doing a fantastic job out there in Cuddy Valley. And of course, when we're done here, we move on to Out of the Woods, Garrison Keillor, News from Lake Wobegon, and Writer's Almanac. And we also hear Vampire Vic and Rural War Room on Friday nights and Tuesday nights. Okay. All right. That's the new schedule. Let's listen to something new here.
Holding on a breath.
Hi there. My name is Jake Standin' Fish, and I run a bait shop here in Pine Mountain Club. And, we've got lots of fish in our little pond that's next to the golf course. That's actually a couple blocks away, but close enough to where you can hear the little of golf balls every now and then while you're fishing. And it's catch and release. You can only use barbless hooks, but we've got cheese bait, Zeke's floating bait. We've got wiggly worms. We got plastic worms. We got real night crawlers. We got minnows. We got all kinds of bait here at Pine Mountain Club Bait Shop here at Jake's Standin' Fish's bait shop. And the funny thing is I'm living off my parents' inheritance, which I have to do to pay the mortgage on the bait shop, because I maybe sell a small canister of earthworms about once every 2 months up here, and maybe a wiggle worm for the real, you know, glow-in-the-dark enthusiasts. And minnows, nobody buys those. So I just set up an aquarium with, some sucker fish in the bottom. And, you know, they're kind of fun to watch, but they're boring, too, because they're not very colorful. So thank God for, you know, rich parents, I guess. Come by the Pine Mountain Club pond, though. There's some ducks down there. You might accidentally catch a duck. And since it's barbless hooks, it usually doesn't kill them. You just throw the duck back. And if you do catch a catfish, you throw it back. Watch out for the barbs. Not Barbara Layden. I'm not talking about the Barbaras. I'm talking about, you know, the barbs. And if you don't catch anything, it's very scenic down there. You can see lots of plants. And then there's the older gentlemen who like to bring their little motorized remote control boats down there at the Pine Mountain Club pond. Like I say, there's not a lot of fish, but if you do catch one, it's a thrill. And you reel it in, just like Lanny Ray and the Reels. You reel it in and you pretend there's blues music going on behind you. And you pick up that fish and you look it in the eyeballs and you say, "You are one lucky fish, because I'm throwing you back." And then it's, you throw the fish back and you just feel so humane. You've maybe shortened the life of, you know, by traumatizing the catfish and a few ducks in the process, but you've made a new friend. You've made a new senior citizen friend, because they have so much wisdom. They've lived on this planet longer than you and I, and they will impart wisdom, if nothing other than telling you how you can set up your own remote control sailboat. It's wonderful. These old gentlemen with their boats, they will tell you so much about the metaphors of sailing through life and catching the wind, putting up the sails, and when you're in the doldrums, when there's no wind, how you just sit there and wait for death.
Children living in burned up room, one bare light bulb swinging. Little black kid come home from school, put his key in the door. Mister, rats on the stairway. Mister, junk is lying his own vomit on the floor. You got to roll with the punches, little black boy. That's what you got to do. You got to roll with the punches. All these boring people see them on TV. Naked up all these boring stories about how bad things have come to be. They say, you got to feed the hungry. You got to heal the sick. And I say, we ain't got to do nothing for nobody, because, you know, it won't work a lick. They're just going to have to roll with the punches. Yes, they will. Going to have to roll with them. They're going to have to roll with the punches. Yes, they will. No matter whether you're white, black, or brown, you won't get nowhere putting down old red, white, and blue. Tap it, baby. All right. Look at those little shorts he's got on, ladies and gentlemen. You can see all the way to Argentina. Get it. Let them go to Belgium, let them go to France, let them go to Russia. At least they ought to have the chance to go in. We've talked about the red, we have talked about the blue. Now we're gonna talk about the white. That's what we're gonna have to do. Now we had to roll with the punches, yes we did. We had to roll with them. We had to roll with the punches, yes we did. We had to roll with them. Now don't care what you say. You live in the greatest country in the world when you live in the USA. Tap it out, baby. All right.
Boys and girls, it's time now for Three's Company for the visually impaired.
Come and knock on our door. We're waiting for you. The kisses are hers.
It's a delightful show from way back when John Ritter was still alive. And we're going to watch the pilot episode right now from season one. You'll see that life is a ball again with Three's Company. Now, this is called A Man About the House. It's where we discover that brunette Janet, now that couldn't be her name, but she is a brunette, works at a florist shop, and Chrissy's a guileless blonde typist. And they find Jack is asleep in their bathtub following a party for their ex-roommate. But they decide they want to hang on to this Jack guy because they find out he's a gourmet chef. Wouldn't you want a roommate that's a gourmet chef? Of course you would, especially if you were two lazy women who just sold flowers and typed all the time. They have to find a way to overcome objections from their landlords. Of course, you know, landlords don't want to have people that are not related of the opposite sex living together for fornication reasons. Stanley and Helen Roper are the romantically frustrated couple who live downstairs. That's the landlords. So let's just play this first episode. We won't play the whole thing, just part of it. And the music is just wonderful. And the typeface is very 70s. There's John Ritter riding a bicycle, falling over. Falls down looking at a pretty girl. There's Joyce DeWitt. And there's Suzanne Summers in a gorgeous one-piece bathing suit and starring as the Ropers. A woman with curly Audra Lindley throwing darts, and one lands on Norman Fell's head. And it's Don Nichols, Michael Ross, and Bernie West. They're the ones who produced and developed this show. Let's watch. Now there's Suzanne Summers vacuuming in her bare feet. She has sexy toes. There's Joyce DeWitt. She looks tired. She unplugs the vacuum cleaner.
Please, have a little respect for the dying. You're not dying.
No explanation needed. Oh, we missed a gag there, folks. What was
something.
That?
Yeah.
You're not dying. I'm sorry we missed that joke.
I'm hoping to.
She's hoping to die. Don't you feel that way sometimes, kids?
Tell me something, yeah? That awful girl at the party last night, yeah? The one who kept giggling and trying to do a striptease, yeah? That was me, wasn't it? Yeah.
No explanation needed for that joke.
Eleanor must hate me. It was her wedding reception and I ruined it. She didn't even notice. Her labor pains started and they rushed her off to the hospital.
What's funny about this show is I think they warmed up to their characters a little later on in the season, or maybe in following seasons, especially Joyce DeWitt, since she's the only woman that hung in there all the time. They kept changing the blondes for some reason. Oh, you know, dumb blondes, you know, they get bored easy, so... Anyway, they act as if they're in a high school play. Just listen to their delivery.
Last night? Yeah, she had a boy. 7 pounds, 8 ounces. Oh, wonderful.
Ooh, she's got a headache. She drank too much. Hangover. That's...
I sure hope that baby doesn't keep them awake at night on their honeymoon.
They're both sitting on the couch and they have sexy knees. Joyce DeWitt making a funny facial expression and sticking her tongue out. Something about...
It's not your fault. You know you made the punch. There's nothing wrong with the punch. Huh?
Something about mad cow.
The ladle turned green.
Ooh, the ladle turned green.
I never made punch before.
Now here's... They're looking in the bathtub. Here's
maybe
John Ritter. He's fast asleep, snoring in the bathtub.
The whiskey, and the rum, and the vodka.
She's just put water on. So John is getting drenched from the water. They don't know who he is yet. He's a man.
Asleep in the bathtub.
A man. They don't know who he is, and he's getting drenched. John was great at putting up with all kinds of...
Is he a friend of yours?
No.
Shenanigans. And now he's getting drenched.
Maybe he's a burglar.
Maybe he's a burglar.
The job.
These jokes are just priceless.
Coming to look at Eleanor's room.
Oh, that's no problem.
I just want to hang in here with the show for a couple of lines from John Ritter. Amazing this got greenlit after this lousy pilot. She goes in with the ladle, the green ladle from the punch bowl. He's now, the water's up to his neck, and now he puts his head underwater for several seconds, and then he does a double take, and very exaggerated getting out of the tub, and boy, he was overacting as well. They're all overacting. Or underacting. A very young John Ritter. This is before Sling Blade. Before he played the homosexual in Sling Blade.
Yes, yes it is. And if you don't mind a stupid question, who are you?
I'm sorry, I'm Jack. Jack Tripper.
Sounds like John Ritter, Jack Tripper.
You don't have a towel handy?
He's funny, he just slipped.
Thank you.
He does a lot of pratfalls in the show, as you recall.
And it's Janet.
Oh, yeah.
Janet. And Chrissy.
We gave the party last night.
Well, I was one of your guests. I came with a friend who knew one of the gate crashers.
Why were you sleeping in the bathtub?
Huh? I don't know. I last thing I remember, I had a glass of that terrible punch, and then everything went black.
And green.
Green. Green because the ladle turned green, you see. That's what they call a running gag, folks, when they keep referring to an item or a joke over and over again. The ladle from the punch bowl turned green.
This is, you know...
Eleanor. Yeah, she had a boy.
Yeah, she must have.
Now, that joke went right over my head. You see, I don't get all the sexual innuendos in the show like the real hip people do, but, you know, that's because I'm a Gumby kind of guy.
I'm sorry, I better be going.
Good.
Well, that's it. He better get going. That's the end of that show. Well, that was a little bit of if we get lots of phone calls,
and emails about Three's Company for the Visually Impaired, you can bet we will be bringing more of John Ritter, Joyce DeWitt, and Suzanne Summers. And
upstairs kept me awake till 3 o'clock in the morning.
The Ropers, of course.
Oh, really? I didn't think you could hear it over your snoring.
I love snoring jokes.
Oh, you wouldn't have liked it, Stanley. All those young girls. You're not up to it.
Now that sexual innuendo I got.
It's all you can do to keep the pot boiling down here.
Oh, another one. That's what you call a double innuendo, folks.
Look at that crack in the ceiling. The party did that.
Oh, that wasn't the party, Stanley. That was the earthquake.
What earthquake?
The big one. Don't you remember? Oh, it was thrilling.
Thrilling?
Yeah, it was the first time our bed moved in years.
So there's lots of impotent sexual innuendos in from the Ropers, which we gather from those three jokes in a row. Went bam, bam, bam. Yep, doesn't get it up, and no bed moving. So it was a hilarious show, as you recall, and that's why it went so many seasons. I actually met one of the blondes. I forget her name. It escapes me at this moment. I had a Thanksgiving dinner with her. This is true, folks, in Los Angeles with her. She was a very good gourmet cook herself, ironically. And she's actually, I always thought she was the prettiest of the three blondes. Someday I'll tell you her name, but that was interesting. Every now and then you find yourself at the table of a celebrity. One time I was in an elevator with Walter Matthau. Yeah, I digress. I think that's the end of the show. Let's hit the happy trails. Stay tuned for Out of the Woods.
And so, my friends, happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling on till then. Happy trails to you.
Come by the Pine Mountain Club pond, though. There's some ducks down there. You might accidentally catch a duck.